Lake Effect continues now on Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Bonnie North. There are approximately 50 million people living with some form of dementia, including Alzheimer's, worldwide. This rate is expected to nearly double by 2030 and triple by the year 2050. The global costs of dementia were estimated to be around $1 trillion in 2018, and those are expected to rise drastically as well. But the UN's World Health Organization recently released the latest risk reduction guidelines for Alzheimer's, and the report confirmed earlier research showing that up to one half of all Alzheimer's diagnoses can be postponed, reduced, and possibly even prevented through simple lifestyle changes. For this month's Fit for You, Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski is joined by Chuck Stetson on the phone from Europe. Stetson is the founder of the Healthcare Impact Foundation, which focuses on treating and preventing Alzheimer's. He begins by explaining why Alzheimer's and dementia have been the focus for his family's work for generations.
Well, this is a coming train wreck. We spend in the U.S. $288 billion a year just on Alzheimer's. That's expected to get to $1 trillion as we have an aging population, and as Alzheimer's just becomes worse. And, you know, we have to understand what Alzheimer's and the chronic diseases of cancer, diabetes, obesity, and heart disease are all about. This is a phenomenon of the last 100 years. People aren't talking about it. It did not really occur before 100 years. Why is it occurring now? It's because we don't exercise. We sit at our computers. We don't keep our weight under control. We don't have a good diet. We drink too much. Really, we're only supposed to drink, according to the guidelines at the Cooper Clinic where I go to, no more than 5 or 6 glasses of wine a week. And what happens? Well, there are 20,000 of us that have been going to the Cooper Clinic, and over 20 years, so it's a lot of people, a lot of time, our healthcare costs today are 40% less. And our incidence of Alzheimer's is 38% less. And in an era where healthcare costs are spinning out of control, why aren't we focusing on prevention, which is right in front of us, and we actually have the data? It's up on our website, globalbetterhealth.org, that people can go to. They can hear the stories and the podcasts that we're doing, and they can also then see the actual independent academic research that supports it.
Yeah, and we're going to talk today about Alzheimer's in particular. So how has the rate of recorded Alzheimer's disease changed in recent history? You mentioned it's really on the rise. So what trends have attributed to this from the start of when people first started recording Alzheimer's and when it was really separated from and understood more than just the general dementia umbrella?
Right. Well, Alzheimer's was identified around 1903, 1904 by a doctor named Alzheimer, and he examined a brain of a person that died that had the characteristics that we now know as Alzheimer's, but it was very rare in those days. But what's actually happened is that we have had just very bad health habits. And, you know, when people were out in the farm, they exercised, they ate the natural foods from the farm and all that, and they keep their weight under control. And what's happened is that we've had an epidemic of obesity really starting around 1990 or so. And a lot of this is by our technology. We just love our technology. We love our computers. We love all our devices, and we don't exercise as much as we should. And we're just eating very bad food. So what we really need to do is we need to have incentives. One of the things that I'm doing is I'm working with universities. We're putting a university group of universities around the globe. I just was in the Middle East working with a university where we're going to run the healthcare program. And it's a structured program, not an unstructured program where, you know, you think, oh, well, it's good to exercise. No, this is a structured program where we're talking about and monitoring people doing 30 minutes four times a week at 150 plus heartbeats a moment. That's aerobic. Anything under 150 heartbeats is anaerobic and doesn't count. So that we want to know that people are going to be in good health. And we're focused on the next generation because you got to start this thing early. Alzheimer's has now been found in young babies at 11 months old. They're getting amyloid plaque and tau, which are contribute to Alzheimer's. And so we got to get on this thing, and we got to get the next generation going on it.
Right. You make a good point that people probably think of this as something to worry about when they're older. And 95% of people with Alzheimer's are age 65 or older. So, yeah, the trouble is, how do you get people to start considering preventative measures early in life? And when is the right time to take precautions? Because maybe they're not thinking about this until, say, an older family member is impacted, not thinking
right.
about themselves.
Let me take you to Singapore, and we had a meeting of some of the young people there. A professor, a friend of mine at Singapore Management University, had some of her students that had graduated that works with the families, and I asked them, "What are the issues that you're facing? What do you care about?" And what they care about is they know that their parents and all are going to get Alzheimer's. They don't want it. They don't know anything about it, and they don't want to be solicited. So we can actually help that, and that's what we did with the website that we have, globalbetterhealth.org. We've got stories, so you can listen to the stories. We actually have the World Health Organization's risk reduction guidelines. They're up there, and you can kind of read it. That's what the World Health Organization did is they came in with a bunch of scientists, and they reinforced what the research is already out there. We're just not focused on the research, and we put the research up on our website so that everyone can read it. It's not a solicitation. It's done through our foundation. And what we're now doing is we're bringing governments, businesses, foundations, and family offices together around UN Sustainable Development Goal number 3. And we partnered with the UN. And we've already got a number of governments that are coming together. We're starting to get the businesses together and the foundations. And we're going to focus on a real communication program. And so I'm just delighted to be talking to you, because this is where we have to go. We have to have these kinds of conversations a lot more frequently. And it's, you know, it takes 20 years before you identify Alzheimer's, but you can actually have Alzheimer's in those 20 years and not really know it. So we have to get better diagnostics. So this is what we really care about and what we're trying to do.
Recently, the World Health Organization confirmed new research that up to one half of all Alzheimer's conditions can be prevented or reduced, which is, I mean, scientifically, if you look at 50%, that's a staggering medical and scientific number. You know, when it comes to odds, you know, maybe 15% is considered decent, but this is half. So
it's an unbelievable number, but it is. That's what the research says. And the person that did that, a lot of the research and worked with the World Health Organization is Mia Kiva Pelto, who's one of our scientific advisors. She started out with the finger study in Finland, and she's now, as of January, she's working with 15 countries. She's now working with 25 countries around the globe, and she's looking at the prevention of Alzheimer's in those 25 countries. She's looking at men and women, and by the way, women manifest Alzheimer's very different than men, and it's two-thirds of the people with dementia actually are women, and they have special needs, very different from men. We're just beginning to get the tip of the iceberg there, so there's work to be done, but the research that's being done is absolutely phenomenal on prevention, because there's a lot could be done now. The old default of, oh, we need more research dollars and we need the government to spend more money on research that, you know, we may find something out in 10 to 20 years. No, we can do it now. It's going to be a process, but I think over the next couple of years, people are going to start to focus on it, because we absolutely have to. And that's what we're finding out with the governments, that they're going to have to be partnering with us, because we have to get this word out. 75% of the people that came out to vote in the midterm elections came out because of the high cost of health care. You give them a couple of $1,000 off of their health care costs, they're going to be ecstatic.
So with the new guidelines, let's get into the meat of them. What are the new guidelines for preventing Alzheimer's? Like, what tactics are doctors using within the office? And what are some tactics people can do in their own power, at their own home, with their own minds?
Yeah, well, what they're doing is the guidelines are actually kind of a consensus statement of a whole bunch of scientific advisors and medical advisors. And they're reaffirming that physical exercise is really one of the top priorities. It comes up with a strong recommendation. Also, eating well comes up with a very strong recommendation. They have some that, like depression, that's conditional. That means that there are some supporting research out there, but it's conditional because it's not quite as convincing as people would like to have it. So what they did is they went through it bit by bit. But I think the key thing, and what we're doing with universities, is you have to enter and get a structured program. That's what the Cooper Clinic recommends, and that's what I follow. And the key thing is that you need to exercise 4 times a week at 30 minutes at 150 plus heartbeats a minute. You need to keep your weight under control. You need to be on a BMI, body mass index, under 29, preferably it's under 25 if you can get there. But you need to start paying attention to your weight. And the obesity thing just exploded in the 1990s, partly because we have so many devices that we sit and we study our devices all the time, and we don't get up and walk around, and we don't exercise. You know, we do some jogging and cycling and all, but it's not enough to offset all of our bad habits. So we have to really start to take that to heart. The guidelines are helpful, but, you know, if you look on our website, you can actually look at the academic papers and see what the research says. And there's things like there's one paper that I've seen that you have to have a certain amount of vitamin B12, vitamin D, and omega-3 in your blood levels, and that's very helpful to prevent Alzheimer's. You need, instead of 140 over 90 blood pressure, you need to be really at 120 over 90. There's some things. This is what we are working with the universities and implementing in a very structured way, where we're going to measure it, and we're going to reward people appropriately in the university for keeping it on track, and we're going to lower the cost of healthcare at the universities right now. That's what we can do.
So we have obviously a large population dealing with Alzheimer's and various forms of dementia currently, and it can be hard and expensive to treat, as we've discussed, but it's also hard on family members and caretakers. So do you think if we get more proactive about our brain health now, as we're younger, before these things are diagnosed and happen, that we can create more compassion for the treatment of people with Alzheimer's and dementia currently?
Yeah, well, let me tell you what they're doing. I was just with the chief executive officer of HSBC. It's a big British bank. And what they have become is dementia friendly. They have 35,000 employees on a voluntary basis, 16,000. That's over half of the employees of the bank have signed on to dementia free. What is it? What are some of the policies of the bank? One of the policies is that they do a lot of call center banking activities, and they don't put a time limit. A lot of places today put a 5-minute time limit on call centers. No, elderly people, they misplace their bank cards and it takes them a while to find it. No, it's however long the customer is that they need to do. So dementia friendly is becoming, in some businesses, it's becoming popular. I think it's going to spread. I think that just because HSBC, and they're a very big bank here in Europe, where I am right now, I think it's going to catch to other banks. I think it's going to catch to other businesses, because it has to. And we need to be much more attentive and willing to work with people that are having, cognitive problems. And we have to be a little bit more sympathetic and take our time with them and show them how much we care.
All right. Well, Chuck Stetson, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today.
Great. Thank you so much. All the best to you.
Chuck Stetson is the founder of the Healthcare Impact Foundation, which has a focus on treating and preventing Alzheimer's and other diseases. He joined Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski for this month's Fit for You segment. You can find a link to the new World Health Organization's guidelines for preventing Alzheimer's at wuwm.com.